It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Good afternoon, I'm Clay Masters. Many Iowa children with serious mental illness are having to wait a long time to get treated in their communities. In some cases, children are being institutionalized instead of staying with their families. Funding for the Children's Mental Health Waiver, basically money allocated in a way for more kids to get treated in their communities, was vetoed by the governor last year. He's going to be here in the law library with me in the second half of today's show, so we'll ask him about it. But first, let's dig into the topic. With me on the phone is Tammy from Iowa City. She's the mother of an 11-year-old boy who she says needs the Children's Mental Health Waiver. She's only using her first name to protect her family. Tammy, welcome to River to River.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So first, tell us a little bit about what problems your son faces.
Sure. Like many children with these disorders, it took us a long time to get his diagnoses, even though he was clearly struggling with something since really the whole of his life. But at age 8, we finally got a diagnosis of Tourette syndrome. And for him, that includes the comorbid disorders of ADHD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and dysgraphia, which is a handwriting disability. At age 10, he was diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum, and at age 11 as being bipolar.
So what problems does that create for your family, Tammy?
Sure. He can get very upset and frustrated, sometimes going into rages, and not even remembering what happened after he calms down. He can have trouble obsessing about things. He gets stuck on ideas, and it can be very difficult when he has a certain idea to try to get him to be flexible. Flexibility is a really hard thing. So, for instance, the school schedule changed a little bit to accommodate some of his needs, and he was very frustrated that he wasn't eating at the same time as the other fifth graders. It wasn't that he wasn't eating with them, it was just that at that time of day, that's when fifth graders are supposed to eat. So he can get certain ideas in his head that become very problematic and very rigid. And that's common in autism and common with obsessive-compulsive disorder. So it's common with many of the things he has. But the main thing that's been so difficult lately is the swings of moods, and that's the most recent. When he was 10, he started getting very depressed, and then he'd shift moods very quickly and started talking about suicide, and at one point finally started making it clear he had plans, had been thinking about making plans to commit suicide, and he was only 10. At that point, we had to have him go to the hospital for a week, and after that, he spent 9 months in a PMIC, which is a psychiatric mental institution for children. He came home in December, and he made a lot of progress. He worked very hard, and we had a lot of hope that things would go better because we were told of all these services we would get once he came out because we had been on the waiting list for the child care waiver for over a year at that point. Now it's been over 17 months, but we're still waiting. And so all of that work could be undone. He came home. We don't have any of those services that he so desperately needs to be able to continue to be well.
So I think it's difficult for a lot of people when you get locked in the jargon of a health waiver and talking mm-hmm. about mental illness.
Yeah.
What break it down for us. What services does he need through the mental health waiver? What does it mean?
Sure. So there are lots of different services that he and our family would receive once he's on the waiver. One is called BHIS. It's Behavioral Health. Behavioral Health Intervention Services. It used to be called Remedial Services. And this is where therapists will come into your home and they'll work with the child and they'll help him or her learn to manage behaviors, how to regain and retain self-control given their particular diagnoses. And so they really work to help the child be able to function at home, at school, and so forth. And so that's a very important service. Respite is very important, not only for the parents. It's, as you can imagine, it's exhausting you especially, you know, if your child's suicidal, you never want to leave them alone. If they're having anxiety problems, they may never feel safe alone. You might have to be in the room with them at all times. There can be a lot of issues that keep you busy all the time, and it's exhausting. Parents need a break. But also, and I don't think people realize, respite's so important because if there are siblings, those siblings need attention from their parents, and the only way they can really get that is if someone else is taking care of the affected child. And so respite's really important for the whole family, particularly for the siblings.
And so if go ahead, Tammy.
Yeah, and also a big part of it's financial. There are a lot of therapies these children need that are not covered by insurance, and there are a lot of medical costs. Even if you have insurance, there's a gap between what the insurance pays and what you need to pay for. So, for instance, we have a great insurance, but we still pay $71 a month just for his medications. If we didn't have insurance, it would be over $1,600 a month. So we're very lucky we have insurance, but the waiver would also help. The kind of therapies and stuff he needs each month go into $600-$700 a month if we were to do what they're telling us he needs to have. But that's just something we can't do out of pocket. So a lot of these kids aren't getting the services they need. And finally, some services like BHIS and getting a caseworker to help the families navigate through all the services, that's not even available unless you have the waiver or your family otherwise has Medicaid Title 19. So it's not even available if you were to have the money, which most people don't.
So if he can't get those services, I think we've been dancing around it. What is the consequence for your family, for your son, for the state?
Right. Well, for the frightening consequence is a lot of these children, you know, I'm hoping it won't be my son, but statistically a lot of these kids will have to go back into an institution. That costs, if it's an in-state institution, it costs the state $5,000 a month. The waiver cannot exceed $2,000 a month. But I know families who have children in out-of-state institutions because there aren't enough beds here or there aren't always the right type of beds. And so, for instance, I know a woman whose child is in a facility in Illinois that won't release her until they get on the waiver, they get the waiver, because then they'll have the services she can do to do well at home. And that costs over $10,000 a month. So it doesn't even financially make sense for our state, let alone it's not medically what's best for these kids and for their families. They really do best when they're with the people who love them.
So what are you and other parents in your situation asking lawmakers to do this year?
Well, what we'd like to see them do is buy down the waiting list, which means just get rid of the waiting list. Pay for there to be enough slots. And on the waiver, currently there are over 1,600 children waiting on the children's mental health care waiver alone, and it's over a two-year wait. It would cost the legislator to put in the budget, it would be $8.1 million to buy down all of the waivers, and including the children's mental health care waiver. So that's what we're asking them to do, and we're asking the governor to approve it and not veto it like he did last year.
All right, Tammy, thanks for sharing your story. Let's bring two other people to the conversation. With me here in the Statehouse Law Library, Representative Dave Heaton, a Republican from Mount Pleasant, who chairs the House committee that writes the state's health budget. Representative Heaton, welcome back to River to River.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And Des Moines Senator Jack Hatch from Des Moines. I already said that. He sits on the Senate committee that writes the state's health budget. Senator, welcome back to River to River.
Thank you very much.
So, Representative Heaton, you've heard Tammy's story. What do you make of it? Do we have the ability to back up that $8.1 million this year?
Well, I think that we probably won't have the resources to meet the $8.1 million target that Tammy's mentioned. But I do know that we will make some significant investments in the waiting list. Right now, our budget, as we go to the floor, and we are the bill initiates in the House. So we are coming forward with $4.8 million to put toward the waiting list. And by my calculation and the language that we currently have in the bill, it will reduce the waiting list by 386 children.
Senator Hatch, does it make financial sense for the state to approve more funding now to avoid institutionalization in your eyes?
Oh, absolutely, and it was important last year. We'd made that decision. Both Representative Heaton and my colleagues in the Senate approved over $8 million for this financing for the waiting list, eliminating it. So children who are like Tammy's child could get that relief. It makes economic sense. It's great for treatment for the kids. But the governor vetoed it and gave really no explanation other than the fact that he said we couldn't afford it and there were better treatment modalities. And I hope that the governor has learned from that veto that it was a mistake. We haven't had a commit. We don't have a commitment from him yet. I believe that the legislature will at least go to David's level of 4.8. The Senate is interested in increasing it. We will be. There are 1,600 kids on the children's mental health waiver, and depending on how we allocate those, the appropriation. We will prioritize it, which is another part that's important for Tammy and other parents, on where we put it. We could go across the board or we can prioritize it on the different types of waiver requests we have, which would be either brain injury, children's mental health.
These are all different waivers?
Are all different waivers that we have, health and disability. So we do have the authority to limit it. Or expand it. We have the authority to appropriate all the money or part of the money. I think the legislature has heard these stories before and we're very sympathetic. And we, interestingly, there is a group of mothers, and Tammy, I don't know if you're part of this. They've kind of been nicknamed the Trauma Mamas.
Yes, we're working with the Trauma Mamas, yes. But
yes.
We're parents creating change in Iowa, and we're working with the Trauma Mamas as well, yes.
What's so incredible about parents like Tammy is that they have to organize almost like a political campaign to ask for something that really should be, you know, just common sense for us. And these women and these parents have come forward, and they come with compelling stories. They come with the ability to understand that we have to do this one legislator at a time. They come with their financial information. They come with how much they love their children. They want their children to stay at home. And everything we do should keep their family together, not split them up. And we're pretty committed to doing this. And it's going to be one of our highest priorities in the Senate to get a commitment from the governor before he gets the bill, because we do not want him to go and veto it and lose this opportunity.
Representative Heaton.
Yes.
How would you respond to that? I mean, you gave the number of 4.8 million. I mean, is there?
I'm the reason I came up with the 4.8 million. That given the restrictions that I received in my target, in other words, Senator Dvorsky and Representative Soderberg, the two appropriation chairs decided on a joint target. I was given the money to utilize in my budget. I have done my very best to put as much money into the waiting list as I possibly can. I mean, I felt the same disappointment in the governor's veto, I think, that Senator Hatch did last year. And I'm doing my very best to come back again and put as much money into it as I possibly can.
So how would that 4.8, would that reduce the number quite a bit as far as waiting lists? Or
it all depends on how you apply the 4.8 million. The way that we're looking at it right now are we think we need to be fair. Currently, the way the department does it, it takes all the people on the waiting list, irregardless of the waiver that they are applying for, and it's first come, first served. And there's 7,500 people on the waiting list right now. First come, first served. Well, we'd like to maybe take a fairer approach to this because we recognize that this is kind of a special fix. So we will take the money and spread it equally amongst the waivers because they all have different maximum values. And so we will apply it to each waiver equally as far as the slots are concerned. And so we'll reduce the waiting list in each waiver equally. And that's when I said I popped up with 386 because we've got it calculated now on the impact the 4.8 million would do. I think eventually then after they apply this money to the waiting list, then it goes back to first come, first served again. But I think we need to knock some people out of here according to the waiver that they need. I think it's the fairest way to do it at this point.
Senator Hatch?
Yeah, I want to make sure that your listeners understand that Representative Heaton and myself and his committee members and mine in the Senate have been working in a bipartisan way from the very beginning. I am very fortunate to have a co-chair that understands the consequences of our funding, as well as Representative Heaton. He is the strongest voice in the House Republican caucus for the help and the service to these families. We are given some restrictions because of the amount of money that we have to spend as state government. But we are advocates for the families. And we try hard to say, you know, as David is explaining this process, that doesn't mean much to the families on the waiting list. They don't care first come, first serve. They've been working for months and months and months trying to get their children on a waiting list in a program, and they don't want the bureaucracy that they're hearing from us. And that's from me as well as from David. We have an opportunity to try to push our colleagues, make them understand that this is really why government exists, to help these families. It's a way how we can help the families, help the children, and save the taxpayers money, because these children, as they get older, are becoming more and more dysfunctional and need more and more services. If we can get them now with their parents' help, then we will save millions of dollars in the future.
I'll bet you right now Tammy's listening back home and she's saying, well, Representative Heaton, why are you saying $4.8 million this year when last year you tried it with $8.5 million?
You've read my mind.
Well, I'll tell you what the real reason is. We lost 2.2% last year in our FMAP rate. That is the match that we have to come up with state money to bring down the Medicaid money that's available. And we lost 2.2% of that. And we had to come back this year in our budget with 86 million new state dollars to plug the loss that the federal government handed us, just to maintain our current Medicaid system. Last year, we didn't have that kind of obligation. I think I was back at 20 or 30 million in growth from the previous year, which is usually the normal thing. So we did have resources there available to fully more address the waiting list. But right now, with the situation I've been handed just to sustain the system and to, when you add on additional growth, you're looking at $98 million of new money I'm putting into the Medicaid system just to keep it the way it is. So over and above that, as we look at the rest of the Department of Health, the Department of Aging, the Veterans, the Department of Human Services, when we look at the all department budget, and you're looking at a $1.8 billion appropriation, and you're looking at starting out at 11 to 15 million, and then all of a sudden, because of some governor recommendations and department recommendations, that whittles down to below 10 million, and I'm trying to address all of those needs. I'm saving and setting aside out of that money $4.8 million. Dollars to go to the waiting list. That's the best I can do right now with the money I got to work with.
I understand that. I would just like to point out two things. One is, I'm curious, you talked about 386 children, but that's not just on the Children's Mental Health Care waiver. That's on all the waivers. So that's 386 out of what? I think it's 7,000 children waiting?
I'll touch 1,546 children. I'll be able to move that amount off the waiting list.
And that's total. So okay. And so is it 386 off the Children's Mental Health Care waiver?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then the other thing I just wanted to point out, you know, we've been trying to contact the governor's office. We've written letters. The response that I received was a form letter thanking for my interest in the budget and talking about our great budget surplus. And I just want to say, as a mother, it was like a punch in the stomach. We can't afford $8.1 million for these desperate needs for our children that will save us taxpayers' money in the future anyway, because many of these kids without services are going to end up in the justice system. They're going to end up unemployed and so forth. But to get that back, we can't spend $8 billion, but we have a $600 million. I mean, we can't spend $8 million, but we have a $600 million surplus. That was a very painful thing to hear as a mother. I understand your constraints with your Appropriations Committee, but I do think people need to understand, what does this say about our state and where our values are?
Tammy, this is Senator Hatch, and many of us agree with you. What Representative Heaton talks about is we are given a target we have to hit.
Right.
What you're saying is that where are the values of this government, and where do we spend our priorities? And the budget represents that. And I agree, we should be spending all of it. We agreed last year to spend all $8 million. We should do the same thing this year, and that's what the Senate's going to try to do. In order to do that, we're going to have to buck our leadership. We have to tell the governor and legislative leaders that we have higher priorities than what they gave us, and that will be the role of the Senate. We do have a $600 million surplus. Actually, it's much higher than that. And we have an obligation to make sure that we give every family, every child, the opportunity to have the same health and wellness that they can have and that others have. And I just want to let you know that Representative Heaton and I agree with you. He's under a little bit more restrictions than I am.
Sure.
But it is a punch to the gut, and I feel sorry for you. But I want you to know that we're trying the hardest to get this done.
Representative Heaton, I want to give you some time for a final comment here as we're wrapping things up on the subject.
Okay, this is the time, right? Okay. Well, Tammy, I'll tell you what. I think you and I have met before.
Yes,
and
we have.
I'm glad to be able to visit with you one more time. I'm trying to do the very best I can with the cards I've been dealt.
Oh, I appreciate it. That I do, sir.
And the thing I know that when you look at all this supposedly surplus money, that it's tempting to jump over and utilize this money to work with the waiting list. The thing you have to remember when you are budgeting, and I think you run your household the same way, when you jump over the fence and use maybe some savings, you have to recognize that the resources, that expenses are ongoing. And when you do jump over the fence, there's a chance you won't have the money the next year. So that's where we are right now.
And unfortunately, that's where we're going to have to wrap things up. Thanks so much to my guests, Tammy in Iowa City, to Senator Jack Hatch and Representative Dave Heaton. We'll have Governor Branstad on in the second half. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.